Good morning.
Morning.
Did you hear me all right? Welcome to Clear Lake Christian Church, and great to see everybody here this morning. There's just a couple quick announcements. We had some questions about gluten-free wafers and trying to honor certain people who have sensitivities. All the wafers are gluten-free, so you don't have to worry about that if that's a concern of yours. They otherwise taste the same. And I appreciate Anita making that change for us. Secondly, there's an elders meeting at 7 p.m. that wasn't on the schedule. Tomorrow. Other things are in your bulletin, so I'll go ahead and read an opening scripture. I'm going to preface it by saying you may think that I picked this particularly for Scott and Robin. I'm going to stop partway, and then I'm going to finish with what I want everyone else to hear. This comes from Romans 1, 14 through 17. I am under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed through faith for faith, as it is written, he who through faith is righteous shall live. So as we send Scott and Robin off to other parts of the world, confronting barbarians perhaps, I don't want you to think too hard on that, because I think in a way this message really is for us here in our culture currently today. If you look back to the 50s, people were kind of expected to be Christian and apologetic if they weren't. And today we kind of see the foot on the other shoe. Did I get that metaphor wrong? I think I did, but you get the idea. Now it's sort of like we're apologetic if we're Christian. And I think this passage should strengthen us in our resolve to not be ashamed of being Christians and being willing to share that in our culture. There are times, I'm sure, that you've been maybe a little hesitant to speak out about Christ or Christianity for fearing not being politically correct or offending someone. But I hope that we can all be bold in our faith. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you give us faith, and we know that that's the key. We know that it's through that faith that we're able to serve you, to be bold, and to state your truth. Give us the strength to stand up, stand tall, and bless Scott and Robin as they travel the world with that mission in their hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I invite you to stand and sing together. I believe we're finishing up Romans 8 today, but there's more chapters in the book, and if you jump all the way to the end and you get to the last verse, that's how our song begins today. From him, through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory. Let's sing together.
His word endures from beginning.
be seated. It's not quite time for the children's moment. We're going to have one in just a little bit, but first we have a very special part of our service that we're going to have first. So, turning it over to Scott.
This isn't something we do every week, so, you know, there's no real practice that people are aware of, but you know, this morning we are looking forward to the dedication of Aubrey and Oscar. We come this morning to dedicate them to the Lord. Usually we do this one at a time, but before Alex and Katie got Aubrey up here, she was pregnant again. So it is with delight that we celebrate the dedication of these two precious lives this morning. Actually, this is more a dedication of Alex and Katie and of Clear Lake Christian Church than it is Aubrey and Oscar. The Bible exhorts parents to raise their children to know the Lord. Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. This dedication allows us to commit to this together. First, I have some questions for Alex and Katie. Will you raise Aubrey and Oscar in a Christian home, dedicated to love and discipline, living an example of godliness, praying with and for your children that someday they too will make their own decision to follow Christ?
We will.
Will you commit yourselves to studying the Bible together as a family and explain to your children why Jesus had to die on the cross? Okay, now here's our part. So you guys follow their lead. You know what's coming next. This is not a journey Alex and Katie are to make alone. Otherwise, we would not need to do this publicly. They have chosen to do this publicly because they are serious. And now they want to ask you, are you serious too? Clear Lake Christian Church, will you commit to praying for the Ibera family, for their spiritual success, for your opportunities to influence, share, and grow this family spiritually? Will you commit to studying the scriptures and sharing their truth with the Ibera family? Will you commit to knowing and sharing the gospel of Christ with Aubrey and Oscar, primarily through the way you live, but also with your words? Upon the testimonies of Alex and Katie and of Clear Lake Christian Church, let us prayerfully commit ourselves to the Lord this morning. And I've never done this two at a time, but we're going to give her the old college try. Okay, there we go. All right. There we go. Let's pray together. Father, with great joy and gladness in our hearts, we lift up these two precious ones to you. Thank you for their mom and dad who desire to walk in your ways and live according to your truth, that these children, that Aubrey and Oscar, will come to know and that their faith will be vibrant and growing, and they'll be excited to live according to your ways, to walk in them, and to know you and your power in their own lives. Lord, we ask for a commitment from each one of us that we will uphold this family for their spiritual success in our hearts on a regular basis, that we will realize that this dedication service is one that we should always remember for the part that we must play, for the responsibility that we have to help nurture and grow as we should. Lord, may we be committed to you and to one another, that we will see spiritual fruit in all of our lives. Lord, help us to know your wonderful presence in our hearts and lives. Help us to see your power at work. And Lord, thank you for Oscar and for Aubrey this morning. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
That was worth the extra weight, so now it's time for you all to come on up for the children's moment. Come right on up here, find a good place to sit.
Morning.
Morning.
I've been sitting back there trying to pull these two pieces of string apart, and it just doesn't happen, so I'm going to ask a couple of you maybe to try. You try for goodness, see if you can get that to come apart. Anybody else want to try?
I want to try.
Okay.
Two people maybe could do it. Or the strongest man in the world can do it. It can break it. I bet two people might be able to.
Now my hand's stuck.
You're going to have to undo.
I bet two people could do it.
Yeah.
Well, I bet we're not going to try it
right now. I bet lots of people can do it.
Because instead, I'm going to ask you to use your imagination. This piece of the rope, or of the string, represents you. This piece of the string represents God's love. And you know, the Bible tells us that nothing can pull us away from God's love. And so we have this knot in the middle. And this knot represents Jesus. Jesus came to earth because God loves us. He lived a life and showed us how to live, and then he died for yours and my sin. And he rose again so that we would always have that right to eternity, to life with him forever. And there's nothing that can break this. It tells us in Romans, it asks a question. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And then it answers that. It says, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, do any ever have any trouble? Do you ever have any sorrow? You ever get into trouble? Isn't this wonderful? We got perfect children. But you know, life is kind of full of trouble. And there are times when we really feel like maybe we're by ourselves, that we don't have anything to hang on to. But maybe you'll remember just this funny little illustration that tells you, you see, with Jesus in the center, I can't pull that knot apart. I can't pull away from that love of Jesus. God told us that. Jesus came to prove it. And it's the one thing that we have to guide our lives day by day by day. And when we have problems, when we have trouble, we just hang on even tighter. God loves us so. Let's pray. Precious Lord, we are so grateful that nothing can separate us from your love. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you that we can hang on to him and that his love will pull us through anything. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jane. As the kids return to their seats, let's take this opportunity to stand and reach out and greet those around us. We'll continue our singing in just a second.
Storms of this life, I won't turn back. I know you are near, and I will fear no
evil.
Then shall I fear? Then shall I?
You may be seated. You know, it gives us the opportunity this morning to go ahead and come before the Lord in prayer. And what an amazing song for us to share. You know, I know there's people that sometimes struggle in their faith. And they look at others, it's like, you always seem to be able to just trust Jesus and go on. But life doesn't always feel that way to me. That sometimes I've got a problem that I just can't seem to let go of and give to the Lord. If that's you, if you ever find yourself struggling with something that is like, Lord, just quietly, silently to yourself right now, just say that line of that song yet again. Lord, you never let go of me. Even if I'm not aware of it, even if I'm not convinced of it, Lord, you've promised, and it is true. You never let go of me. We all struggle with stuff. We come today, and we've got those that are struggling with some things. Margarita's got to go through some cancer treatment, but praise the Lord, it's stage one. And praise the Lord, let's give the Lord a hand on that one. At this point of what the doctors know, there's no spreading. There's no reason for alarm. There's a good prognosis. So let us diligently uphold Margarita and Alan in our prayers. Bob is going back in to have the test again, you know, get a second look at it, you know, with the whole heart valve issue going on. So we certainly want to remember Bob in our prayers. Myrna, bless her heart, is supposed to be having her second knee replacement and is still having troubles with the first one. So I know that Myrna would covet your prayers at all as well. Yeah, it's going to be a busy week, but we know the Lord is Lord of all. And that convinces us that he stands above it all. He is Lord, and that's why we have gathered here today. Let us look to him. Father, we have gathered in this place today as a family of believers to celebrate you, to celebrate who you are and what you mean to us. It is so hard to conceive that the Father gave us you that we may have salvation. But in giving us you, he's given us everything that you embody. Everything we could ever need. Everything we could ever desire in knowing you and experiencing your power. Lord, that is why we have gathered. That is why we celebrate. That's why we worship you. Because you are in our midst. You are in our hearts. And Lord, you have designed us. You have purposed us that we should walk in your ways in honor of what you have given us. That we will impact others for your truth and your love. Oh Lord, what joy to know. Nothing can ever separate the believer from Jesus Christ. We rejoice with your working in our midst. We pray that those that have the burden on their heart, maybe they're shared with a few but haven't shared with all, we would be akin to looking around and knowing who they are and supporting one another with our words of encouragement and with the actions of our lives. Lord, may we be vessels in your hand, willing to respond sacrificially to one another that people will be able to say, that is a group that knows you and loves you because of the way that they love one another. Be with us in the remainder of this hour, Lord, that we may have your Spirit speak to us, that our lives would be encouraged and changed because of your word, and that we can go from here knowing we belong to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Seeing a little wet spot on my pants. I didn't have an accident. I guess I just needed to be humbled a little bit more before I came up here, but praise God that by the blood of Jesus, I'm free of all sin and shame. So you can kind of see up there, my song is titled The Harvester, and I kind of want to add the verses that we've all heard many times go along with this, which come from Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. And Jesus says, "The harvest is plenty, but the workers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send workers out into his harvest field." And as all of us know, we have our harvesters about to go out into the field, and this song, it just popped right into my head when I heard last year that they were going, and it's a song I shared with a group that went on our missions trip to urban Minneapolis. And this song, it just to me, it tells a story of God's love and the process that we get to share in, and that's working toward that harvest and helping to gather all those to him. And I guess I just feel it's my duty to share that with you and to glorify my shepherds and my king. Because what a blessing it is to have seen them, you know, not be satisfied with what has been built here, but to have that yearning in their hearts to want to go and spread the blessing of the love of Christ with Sierra Leone. I just want to highlight some words in the chorus of this song to help you guys relate. And it is, "For all that we've grown, how can we forget those who don't know or just don't know yet? Let's harvest this field from sunrise to sunset. The master is coming. We are not done yet." We're not done. Just because they're leaving doesn't mean we're done. I mean, it's transition for everybody. We're Iowans. We know how the seasons work. Right now, the corn's growing strong, but it doesn't mean it's going to stay green. The harvest will come like it comes every year. And it is our duty to bond together and to work for that harvest, like Jesus is coming back. And this song, to me, it just reminds me when I'm down, when I'm frustrated, when I don't want to keep going, that he's coming, and he's working there right with us. And I don't know about you guys, but I want to be working the field when Jesus comes back. I'm going to be working for him. I want to be dusty, sweaty, dirty. I want to show him that because of his love, it drove me to persevere, to carry that hope to all corners of the world, and that nothing satisfies but that. And I just want to let you go, Stott and Robin, that you guys inspired me with your decision. And I hope all of you are just as blessed as I am to have witnessed this journey for them. And we'll be praying for you guys that the Holy Spirit goes before you and sets a wildfire in Sierra Leone, that the love of Christ, it'll just explode, that nothing will stop. So here's my tribute to you and my king, the harvester. Up with the dawn and the rooster crow. Been that way since I don't know. Throwing that water on my face. Get out the door and greet the day. Putting my knees down on the ground. Sing to the Lord in a weary sound. Ask him for the strength I need. Break my heart like a weed. For all that we've grown, how could we forget those who don't know or just don't know yet? Harvest this field from sunrise to sunset. The master is coming, we are not done yet. We are not done yet. Sickle, bring out the pail. Bushel full of wire and a fork to bail. Work through the pain and the rain, I'll Y'all, we still got time. We still got time. For all that we've grown, how could we forget? For those who don't know, or just don't know, sunrise to sunset, the master is coming, we are not done yet, we are not done yet, yet, yet. There for the reaping. For all that we've grown, how could we forget? Those who don't know, or just don't know yet, let's harvest this field from sunrise to sunrise. The master is coming, we are not done yet, we are not done yet, 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 yet.
I know I speak for all of us, John. Thank you. I guess I should say John and Paul, then everybody else is wondering, you know, where Ringo is. But the confidence comes with the probability of victory. But if we don't get our facts quite right, then we can be overconfident or underconfident. And either way, either one of those can subject oneself to defeat because of being overconfident or underconfident. But of course, within this, We know that we're going to be talking about spiritually here. The Lord wants us to be spiritually confident. Not because of the possibility of victory, not because of the probability of victory, but because of the certainty of victory. I don't know if you guys are hearing the ringing out there. You guys hearing it? Yeah, I'm getting quite a bit of, it's pouring on me up here, so I don't know what we've got on, but anyway, thanks Harley if you can work your magic. We've been taking this journey through Romans chapter 8, and in this journey through Romans chapter 8, Paul's been describing to us what it's like to live according to the Spirit, the victory that is awaiting us, the assurance that comes. And it's within this then that he is closing out, he is concluding the discussion with a confidence that the believer should have living under the control of the Spirit. Let us take a look at Romans chapter 8. We'll begin at verse 31 today through verse 39, in which we will first realize the spiritual confidence, verses 31 and 32. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul's question is coming out of his discussion about the ability of God, about the sovereignty of God that we'd already looked at. Romans 8:28 is so familiar to us. God will work out all things for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. It's interesting that God's ability here to work all things for good isn't dependent upon circumstances, isn't dependent upon situations, isn't dependent upon good or bad decisions. God is sovereign and he is able to work it all together for good. And so in knowing this, God has made that promise, and therefore, what can stand against the power of God, the ability of God, the sovereignty of God? Nothing. The answer to the question, absolutely nothing. No one, no power, nothing can thwart God's purpose in those that he loves and are called according to his purpose. In verse 32, it explains that Christ has already been given. We know in Ephesians 1:3 that to have Christ is to have that spiritual warehouse that is full of every entire spiritual blessing. And all we have to do is spend the rest of our lives wandering through it, experiencing all of these blessings as they come to play in our lives. Wow, what an amazing picture. Well, it's within that you know, if we stop and realize, over in Colossians 3:11, you know, it speaks of Christ is all and in all. In other words, he's everything. If we have got Christ, then we've got all that Christ has. Okay, because we get him. Because we get him, we get his heaven. Because we get him, we get his salvation, his eternal life, his quality of being. Therefore, since we have Christ, we have everything that has to do with Christ from that moment forward. So in answer to the question, if we have got Christ, then who in the world is going to be bringing something against us? No one. It can't happen. So if we already have Christ, we've received all because we are in a relationship with Christ. Secondly, God is on our side, verses 33 and 34. Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died. More than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Again, Paul uses a question to make his point. Who can bring any charge against those God has justified? If you've been justified here this morning, let's make this interactive for a moment. If you're here this morning and you've been justified, or you are justified, raise your hand. Okay, now of all of you that just raised your hand, have you, has anybody here been justified by anyone other than God? There's no one who can justify but God. Only authority. Only one who's got that place to justify. So now within this, then, if God justifies, who's going to bring a charge against any of those that have been justified? It's a logical question, meaning the impossibility of an answer. There is no power. There is no source that can rival God. You know, it's so interesting, you know, that we're so intrigued by these trilogies that have been going on for writings and movies for centuries. And within, well, the movies haven't, but the books have. And within that, you've got good versus evil. It's not like that. Good isn't standing on one side against evil. Good stands above everything else, as it is coming from God. So God is this supreme authority. Well, he goes on then in verse 35, and he's talking about how that Christ, the one who died, oh, even more, the one who lives, he was raised up, is on your side. Paul is making the point. There are those that may think they can try and thwart God and his purpose in life. But we know that in terms of there's the place where God is. And then there's the place where creation is. And there's nothing that creation can do to have any impact on God. But God has complete ability, complete sovereignty to do anything in the created realm. Therefore, nothing from the created realm can throw itself against God with any hope of a good return. We see here that Paul is very specifically trying to say, number one, God the Father is on your side. Number two, Jesus Christ is on your side. Remember back the last time we talked about this in Romans 8, the Holy Spirit gave our prayers a super boost. You remember that one? Okay. So within that super boost then, what do we see that Paul is telling us? We have got the three that are on the side of the good are on our side. You've got God the Father. You've got God the Son. You've got God the Holy Spirit. And then there's this huge line that cannot be crossed. And then you've got everything else going on in the created realm. And inside the created realm, you're sitting here dealing with, okay, what are we going to do with all of this information now? And how can we figure out God? No one can stand against God. And we've got the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on our side. There's no other power that can stand against that. Okay, number three, absolute security in Christ, verses 35 through 39. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Paul begins this section in talking about the love of Christ and how that there is nothing that can separate us from it. Then he goes on in verse 37 to talk about how that we are more than conquerors. And then he goes back, talking again about how nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we're all smart enough to know if the same things are repeated in the same passage, it's for emphasis. Nothing can separate you. But before he gets to that, we see in verse 37 that it's talking about we are more than conquerors. Anybody like the sound of that? I know I do. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm a guy, I'm competitive. And a conqueror is the one who wins. It's the one who has the victory. And so as we're thinking about this conqueror, you see, a conqueror is somebody who is headed into battle and emerges victorious through the demonstration of his courage, his bravery, his resolve. The conqueror wins. Well, that's all well and excellent. So if that's what a conqueror is, then what does it mean to be more than a conqueror? Well, we've already established the fact that the conqueror wins. The conqueror is victorious. So to be more than a conqueror can't have anything to do with the result, because the result is unchanged. So to be more than a conqueror has to have something to do with before we get to the battle. It has something to do before this takes place if we're more than a conqueror. See, to be more than a conqueror, to be united with Christ, to be united with his power, is the absolute certainty of victory before the battle takes place. That's what it means to be more than a conqueror. See, the conqueror can be confident that he's going to show his courage and his bravery and win. But the believer is more than a conqueror. And we know going in that in Christ Jesus, we win. Now, as we're looking at moving back here, Paul has grouped together in the rest of these verses here, 35 through 39, talking about all of these extremes that he groups together so that we can know that regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstance, regardless of the decision that you make that may be responsible for that situation or those circumstances, doesn't matter. God is in control, and nothing can separate us from Christ. Now, that doesn't mean that there isn't going to be consequences of really bad decisions. I mean, we could spend the next several weeks interviewing one another and finding out how that bad decisions we've made have had consequences that have left us in an not nice bright spot. Amen? So, this isn't talking about God smooths out all of our mistakes regardless of why they were made, right? It's talking about the fact that the love of Christ, the fact that we belong to Him, the fact we are identified in our union to Christ is inseparable from anything and everything, regardless of whatever bonehead decisions we may have ever made. It doesn't matter the situation. It does not matter the circumstance. It doesn't matter the decisions that caused the situation or circumstance. Nothing can separate us from Jesus Christ. Now, here we can see within this passage that it talks about the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. Okay, and everybody, you know, it's like we like the word love. It's an ooey gooey. It's like chocolate fudge frosting on a brownie that, you know, is good, but it's better with the chocolate fudge frosting. Okay, now I'm sorry. It's close enough to lunch, and I just got you guys distracted. I apologize. It got me distracted, too. As we contemplate what Paul is really trying to tell us, he's trying to convince us that in all of these things, as we're trying to think about how we relate to a God who has loved us, we think of his love in this kind of a warm hug kind of a thing. But it is so far beyond that. Because his love brought us, Revelation 13:8, before the foundation of the world, the Father had already committed the Son to die for your sins and mine, that we may know him. So within this, the love is more than the warm hug. The love is evidenced in the delivery of Christ himself. You are united to Christ. The Bible puts it this way in the New Testament. You are in Christ and Christ is in you. And within that, that is an eternal bond that can never, ever, ever be separated for any and all reasons. Which leads us to the conclusion. If that is absolutely true, that we are united to God in a way that is just irreversible, you'd think, well, then that means I can go do whatever I want. Well, why would you want to do that? If you've been united with Christ, if you have the ability of experiencing Christ, the one who created this whole world, that is beyond this whole world, that gives us the avenue, the entrance into the uncreated realm where only God lives. That's what he's invited us into, to experience, yes, for eternity, but even right here and right now. Why in the world would we want to settle for anything less? And that's where Paul is telling us. He's going, man, I'm just trying to convince you of this. Nothing can separate you from Christ. And in so doing, then, our response should be, wow, that sounds really, really good. In fact, let's all say that, okay? You know, when I raise my hand, just say, wow, that sounds really, really good. Wow, that sounds really, really good. And it is. And that should motivate us to walk in the power of the Spirit. It should motivate us to want to live that sacrificial, loving life so that the impact of Christ can be evidenced in others' lives around us. And as much as that is true, that is an excellent application of what's going on in these verses, that isn't the focus of these verses as Paul has delivered it to us. The focus is simply upon us receiving the fact. Nothing can separate you from Christ. It is therein that he is really trying to get us to realize whatever comes your way, it does not matter. You have Christ. You are secure in Christ. Nothing will ever separate you from Christ. Paul concludes his discussion on living according to the power, living according to the control of the Holy Spirit, with the simple truth. Whatever comes, it does not matter. Nothing can separate you from Christ. It worked for Paul. I hope it works for me. I'm going to repeat it. Whatever comes your way, it does not matter. Father, thank you for the power of your word. And Lord, just the sheer reality. We are secure. We have assurance in your name. You have united us with yourself. We are in you. You are in us. Lord, you have taken us to a spiritual plane to experience your home, the land of the uncreated, even in the midst of our walking in the midst of creation. May our hearts be full of your love and the desire to live for you. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Psalm 34:8, favorite passage around our house. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. We were talking about form of Christianity this morning in Adult Ed, and Pastor Scott pointed out that, you know, we tend to argue a lot about it. There have been many church divisions over how communion is done, how to understand it, how you do it. Do you dip or do you just take the wafers? I mean, endless discussions on that, and it seems like people ignore the principal point, which is to remember Christ died for us and was resurrected for our salvation. So I will say that little line again the psalmist had in mind, perhaps way before Christ asked us to remember him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. 1 Corinthians 11:23, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "The cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that you're the central truth and that your forgiveness of us and our salvation is wrought through you giving us faith in you and in this death that you suffered on our behalf. Let us receive it as if we were the only one in the whole world that you died specifically for us alone. And perhaps then we can understand the magnitude and the importance of what you've done for us. Empower us to share your love with others. Bless God for having bestowed this upon us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If a warrior knew with absolute certainty before he went into battle he was coming out victorious, uninjured, unharmed, do you think it's going to change the way that courage and bravery would take place in the battle? I mean, there would almost be a little bit of reckless abandon, if you will, on the part of the warrior that knows he's coming through victorious. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ, you are united with Christ. And I know that even though you're supposed to wait until the ending to get to the book, but every single one of us has looked ahead and read the last chapter before we got done with the book, just to see how it ends. I know you've done that. Jesus wins. We're with him. So just by the very fact we're with Jesus and he wins, what does that mean for us? We win. So just quickly, I'm going to make this interactive for you. If you know Jesus Christ, when I raise my hand, I want you to say, in terms of that confident warrior who knows he's going to come through the battle unscathed because he's going to win, I want you to say with spiritual confidence, I am that warrior. I am that warrior. That's what we have in Jesus Christ. Before we close today, we certainly give opportunity for anyone that would have a decision that they would like to make public. I know we have two here now that would like to do so. So if I could just have you two come on up. Don't look at me like deer in the headlights. And if I, Alan, you want to jump up here as well? Mary and Scott have come before us today. They want to become members at Clear Lake Christian Church. They want to become part of what we're doing here. Well, if you were going to run up here and grab a microphone, I could have had you do it. He just seemed to be closer.
It's on.
Okay.
It's not.
Okay. Well, it feels. Oh, there, wrong side. There we go. Okay. Scott and Mary have come to us. They want to become members of Clear Lake Christian Church. Alan, take it away.
Oh. Caught me off guard here, Scott.
That's what you get for sitting too close to the front.
So, why do you want to become members of Clear Lake Christian Church?
We've accepted Christ into our lives, and we feel at home here and welcome in this church.
You feel the same way?
Mary spoke for Scott. What a surprise.
So you accept the fact that we all are sinners here, and we all need Jesus Christ, and we all need to work together. And you accept Jesus as your own personal Savior. Welcome
to this wonderful family. You guys want to just slip into the front row, and then I have you come back out here during the last song. And if you would, those of the church family, please come and welcome them into the fellowship. Just for those of you that may not know exactly what's working here, membership in a church is not like some special club. It's a commitment to Jesus Christ that you recognize. Not only should you be able to be fed and grow here, but also that God has gifted you and you have a responsibility to the body. It's recognizing that responsibility that we all have to work together. And it is in doing that that we will build a community of faith that is going to impact our community for Jesus Christ. So we thank you for that. Please stand. Lord, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord today. We thank you that we could sing praises unto you, that we could enjoy our fellowship one with another, that we could see babies dedicated, we could see people committing themselves to being active in this body. But Lord, most of all, you've given us your word, you've given us truth. May we live according to it. May we this week remember to remind ourselves, I am that warrior in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much.